good. And we just absolutely cannot comprehend how you can be so good to us through everything that we, you know, all the stuff that we do and say and think, and yet you still love us so very much, and we thank you that you are just so good, good God. In Jesus' name, why don't you take your seats? Thank you, team. If you've got kids, primary school ages, you can take them out to DBK. How good is it hearing all those kids in the house? I love it. I love it. If it bothers you, just move towards the front. You don't hear them as much. Just saying, if it bothers you. I'll do anything to get you to sit down the front. Just about anything. So, welcome. Welcome to church. You know, preparing a sermon is an interesting thing, because when you listen to Matt preach, he's inspiring and he's encouraging and uplifting, and you get that conviction, like he sees right into you, right? And something I've discovered about myself as I've been preparing sermons over the last few years, something I've discovered is that I like things to be 1, 2, 3, ABC, set order. And I think if there's any, you know, psychiatrists in the house, you'd probably put a label on that. But you know what? I don't care. God is a God of order. And today you're going to get practical steps. So just don't think I'm going to preach like Matt today. He probably won't be inspiring, but it's practical, and I will preach like me. So I really hope that, you know, I got this right. So who enjoyed Matt's sermon last week? Yeah, it was good. He spoke on righteous living / worship. And what struck me about that was the question that Elijah asked on Mount Carmel. Right, when he was, you know, the whole story, all the prophets of the false gods of Baal and Asherah and Elijah, they all went up on the mountain and, you know, if your God's real, send the fire. If your God's real, burn up. And we all know what happened, but Elijah stood in front of all these prophets of the false gods. And what boldness. Think of the boldness. And this is I've been thinking about this all week after Matt preached it. But Elijah, this is probably not the main message, but this is what I got out of it. And if we get something out of it, it doesn't have to be the main message what the preacher thinks. It's got to be what God's telling you, right? So Elijah stood in front of these prophets, 850 men who were so passionate about what they believed in, and no doubt would have turned around and killed Elijah if they had the chance. And Elijah, with boldness, stood up and said, "How much longer will you waver between these two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal is God, follow him. You cannot have it both ways. You cannot worship God and Baal. You cannot worship God and money. You cannot worship God and your job, or your car, or your sports, or your children. How long will you hesitate to make that choice?" Because the truth is, we might not even make it out of church today. Not that I'm going to preach all that time, but God might come back. Jesus might come back. I don't know. You cannot worship God and anything else. How much longer will you be divided? And in Matthew 6, it says, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be." So whatever we devote ourselves to, whatever we think about all the time, that's what we're going to worship. So we need to be deliberate about what actions we're doing. If we set up another master in our lives, we will end up hating God. You will love one and hate the other. That's what it says in Matthew. You cannot have two masters. Anyway, if you haven't heard that, you just got the condensed version. I enjoyed Matt's message and I was challenged, as I said, to reassess what I spend my time on. And this is a great segue into my sermon today. And we're starting a new 5-week sermon series and I get to kick it off. You may notice something different. 5 letters. As a Dream Builders Church, there are 5 cultural values that we think are important. We know are important. And you can check this on the website if you don't believe me. And it's super easy to remember because these 5 cultural values start with these letters. And we're called Dream Builders. So super easy to remember. But they're not just things that we believe are important for this church. These are things that are important for every Christ follower, no matter where, when, who, no matter what. Yeah. It's just really handy that they spell out dream and we're dream builders, so it's easy to remember. So the D stands for devotional, a genuine reverence for God. R is relational, deep love for others. Equipping is a desire to disciple, mentor, coach, and be discipled, I might just add. A is for anointed. We're anointed, empowered by the Holy Spirit. And M is for missional. You guys are missional. Yeah. Commitment to mission and evangelism. So today, I've got D, and I feel like I'm in Sesame Street. Today is brought to you by the letter D. So obviously, devotional describes somebody who is devoted. I know. I'm a genius. The Cambridge Dictionary says devotion is dedication, loyalty, faithfulness, steadfastness. The Oxford Dictionary defines devotion as love or enthusiasm, even fidelity. For me, when I think about what devotion looks like in Australia today, I think of one thing.
So, it's not Woolworths. So, okay, right, here we go. I think of football, right? No one agrees with me? Devotion in Australia. Football. Have I picked the right team? Okay. Oh, look at that. I'd like you to know. I'll get the mic in just a minute. I know.
I'd like you to know that I am now a proud and passionate supporter of Essendon Football Club. I'm all in. I'm a fan. I love the game. When you're not looking, I'm checking scores. Yeah, when you're not around, I'm watching games, replays, news reports, everything. I love it. I'm such a big fan that I wear 3 scarves. If it was my choice, Trevor, our whole house will be decorated in red and black. See the Bombers fly up. Right? Am I saying the right things? Yeah. I stand here today telling you that I'm a devoted supporter of Essendon Football Club. Do you believe me? Of course not. You know me, and you know that my life is not reflecting a devotion to any football club, let alone Essendon. And it's really hot, so I'm just going to take these off. My actions are not supporting my words. Being a devotional person should be evidenced in the way we behave. Nice. Being devotional implies action, right? Did everyone hear what I said? Being devotional implies action. Not just words, not just looking like a dork. So just saying I'm a fan, wearing the scarves, the whatever this is called, that doesn't make me... It's not a jumper, is it? Jersey. Not Guernsey. Jersey. In any case, wearing it doesn't make me a devoted supporter. I would say that a true devoted supporter of football would take it to the next level. Yeah? They'd talk about it. They'd attend every game they could. Oh, Matt's... They would hang out with other football fans. They would be thinking about football all the time. And you know what? I believe football is a real thing. I'm not denying it exists. But am I devoted to it? Do I worship it? No, of course not. I believe in one God who exists forever in the three persons of the Father, Son and Holy Spirit. Yep. You might say the same. Some of you have said the same. Guess what? James 2:19 says this. You believe that there is one God. That's fine. The demons also believe that. I'm pretty sure that demons aren't going to heaven. I heard a preacher say this the other day about Adolf Hitler. He said, I believe about Adolf Hitler. I believe he was a real man, but I don't believe in Adolf Hitler. I don't agree with what he stood for, but some people did. They obeyed and followed and did terrible things. See, their actions were reflective of what they believed in. They didn't have to say it. You knew where they would, that where they stood by their actions. It's a nice soundtrack. Yes, Jesus loves me. Oh, old school. So what we worship is evidenced by what we spend our time on, what we spend our money on, what we talk about, what we surround ourselves with, what we think about, what we muse on. So just saying I have a genuine reverence for God and devoted to being the best Christian I can be, but having no evidence of that, it actually does not make sense. It doesn't make sense. If my actions are not reflective of what I say I believe, then obviously I don't truly believe it. In Matthew 7, it says, you will be known by your fruit. You will be known by what comes out of your life, not by what you try and convince people you believe. Do I say I believe in the importance of fellowship but don't come to church? Do I say I believe in prayer but don't show up to prayer meetings? Do I say I believe in supporting missions but don't give any finance? Do I say I believe in loving my neighbour but I don't even know who they are? Do I say I believe in what the Bible teaches but I don't do it in my own life? It makes perfect sense when you say it like that. But how many of us are walking out what the Bible teaches? What is your choice? If you haven't decided who or what to follow, that's still a choice. That's a choice by omission. And I can tell you, a choice by omission is never going to be the choice that you want, because the world will get in the way. And as Matt shared last week, we cannot be devoted to God and anything else. God will not tolerate that. He will not be second. If you don't put God first in your life, then he is nowhere in your life. Yeah, who whistled? Yeah. I read that and I thought, ooh, can I say that? But it's what I believe. So, you know, I love the practical applications, blah, 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 applications. So today I want to share some ideas about what it looks like in everyday life, our choices, our lifestyles, what it looks like to put God first and be devoted to him. And it's actually super straightforward. Like, it's not rocket science. It's not hard stuff. You don't have to be, like, real intelligent or anything. There's four things. If you're taking notes, four things. And they can be found in Acts 2:42. This passage is about the birth of the New Testament church. And it's a great template for church today. So let's read Acts 2:42. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. That's us. We're believers. Are we believers? All the believers devoted themselves to teaching, to fellowship, sharing in meals, and prayer. These are four distinguishing marks of the New Testament church, and we are a New Testament church. We should be known as a church that values these things, a church that prioritizes these things. Let's look at each thing a little bit closer. Number one, be devoted to the teaching. If you want to get better at something, you learn everything you can about it, yeah? Yeah. So if you want to be a better Christ follower, what do? Learn everything you can about Christ. Most of you sitting here, I know it's not, I was writing this during the week and I'm like, this just, it's just so common sense to me. So if it's revelationary, I'm really glad. Most of you sitting here are teachers or have been teachers, right? You know that education is important. You know that the teaching of things is important. And I came across this article in Psychology Today, just a bit of casual reading, called the Three Habits That Improve Learning. And these habits are take notes, practice retrieval, pay attention. Simple. You know, you would have heard this story before, but I love it. When our daughter Sarah was in her teenage years, she started wanting to go to the football with Matt. And Matt would tell you this is 100% true. They would go to the football together, and Sarah would be like, Dad, who kicked that? Dad, what does that mean? Dad, what happened over there? Dad, who's that? Dad, what? And Matt would just be like, oh. He just wanted to pay attention to the game, and to the point where he would put in his headphones and pretend, not even listen, but pretend to be listening to a commentary because he wanted to focus on what he was there to focus on. He didn't want to be distracted. Parenting 101, ignore your kids. No, cut that out. So when you come to church or in a connect group or a Bible study of any kind, take notes. Practice retrieval and pay attention. In other words, write stuff down. Talk about it with others and don't let yourself be distracted. In this church, we believe that being devoted to the teaching is important. So we are intentional about what our connect groups are studying and what is being preached from the pulpit. But you and I as individuals have a responsibility. We need to take it to the next level. Don't blindly accept everything you hear. Don't rely just on what the church is offering. Sunday morning, 40-minute message, all good, I'm good for the week. Find out for yourself. We might be wrong. We're human. Matt wouldn't be wrong, but I might be. Don't blindly accept everything. Research it in your own time. Read your Bible. Find out for yourself. Find someone to study alongside and be devoted to the teaching both inside the church and outside in your private lives. Number two, be devoted to fellowship. The word fellowship comes from the Greek word, I'm going to say it wrong, but I'm going to say koinonia. Some people would say koinonia, but they're wrong. It refers to partnership, sharing, participation. For us, that means hanging out with other Christ followers, being actively involved, i.e. volunteering and participating, and being generous with our time and resources. And, you know, fellowship gives us a sense of belonging. Some more casual reading I was doing during the week. Dr. Strayhorn, who's a professor of education and psychology at Virginia Union University, says this. A sense of belonging is a basic need, a fundamental motive, a human right. A sense of belonging is feeling accepted, valued, respected, and included just as we are. Get this, a sense of belonging strengthens brain connectivity and catalyses neurotransmitter release with positive effects. I don't know what that means, but I like it. The thing is, and this is the problem, you are not going to have a sense of belonging with all that positive stuff if you never turn up. In Hebrews 10:25, it says, some people have given up the habit of meeting, but we must not do that. We should keep on encouraging each other, especially since you know that the day of the Lord's coming is getting closer. That sounds like it's not about me. We should keep on encouraging each other. Coming to church is and hanging out with cross followers, it's not for our personal benefit, although there are benefits. It's to encourage one another. Do not forsake meeting together. In this church, we believe that being devoted to fellowship is important. So we hold regular church services every Sunday morning. You know we're going to be here. The doors are going to be open every Sunday morning. And we encourage our connect groups to meet every week. Your responsibility is taking it to the next level. I should have called my sermon that. Take it to the next level. Get involved. Get connected. Volunteer to help. It all brings a sense of belonging. Because we're not called to sit on the sidelines. We're not called to sit back and watch the game go by. We're called to play it. We're called to run the race. That's biblical. Yeah, it is. And I didn't write the reference, but look it up for yourself. Don't just blindly believe me. Number three, be devoted to the breaking of bread. So we had communion this morning and it's awesome. I think it's wonderful that we remember what Jesus did on the cross and how amazing that is for us in our lives. But this verse is referring to so much more. And verse 46 elaborates on this and says, they met in homes and shared their meals with joy and generosity. In other words, they had people over for lunch. They went to each other's homes for dinner. They had coffee and cake. I'm sure there was coffee and cake back then, but if there wasn't, well, if there was, they would have had it together. They shared what they had, and guess what? They were happy about it. Joy and generosity. Now, I love when modern research confirms biblical principles, so check this out. Another casual reading I was doing during the week, the Psychiatry Academy of the Massachusetts General Hospital. I practiced that. They've come up with this program called the Family Dinner Project. Who grew up with family dinners, you know? Sitting around the kitchen table, everyone was there, mum, dad, all the brothers and sisters, any friends that happened to come over. You know, back in my day, there were no phones, but, you know, you wouldn't have had phones on and the TV wasn't on. If dad was particular, he'd have the radio playing the Goon Show or something in the background. We've got one of those dads here. And you wouldn't be able to leave until everyone had finished and you were asked politely to be excused. Who grew up with that? It was awesome, yeah? Anyway, this bunch of therapists, psychologists, psychiatrists and parents have come together at this hospital, Massachusetts, and they've created this program called the Family Dinner Project. And this is the concept that they research the benefits of a family dinner. And their research has found these are the benefits of family dinners. Higher self-esteem, a greater sense of resilience, better vocabulary, healthier eating patterns, and a lower risk of substance abuse, depression, and obesity. Now, I don't know about you, but when I look around the world today, I'm like, that we need to sit down and have dinner with people. And these benefits aren't just found in children, but in the adults as well. In this church, we believe that being devoted to the breaking of bread is important. So we share in communion regularly. We also share morning tea after the church service every Sunday. And we hold church lunches. And I know a lot of you invite people into your homes. You might be thinking, though, I'm not good at cooking. I don't have enough room, don't have enough chairs. You can make up whatever excuse you like. But I'm not asking you to do anything. I'm telling you, this is what the Bible says that Christ followers do. We need to be known as people who are hospitable and generous. And it is your responsibility, and mine, yours, to figure out how to make that happen in our own lives, in our own workplaces, and in our own homes. And again, this one's not about you at all. We worry about inviting people over. Is it clean enough? Have I got enough food? Allergies, blah, blah, blah. But it's not about you. None of these things are about you. There's probably somebody in this room right now who needs to sit down at your lunchtime table with your family and have that sense of belonging and be included and be loved exactly how they are. There's probably someone here who needs to be encouraged and strengthened and is not going to get that if they go home by themselves or if they go home to an environment that is not healthy. Please invite people to your homes. Share food. Take someone out for coffee. And my last point, real quick today. Can we have the creative team? Thanks. Number four, be devoted to prayers. All the prayers. It doesn't just say be devoted to prayer. It says the prayers, plural. And not just when we feel like it or want something from God, all the prayers. It is estimated that there's over 650 prayers in the Bible. That's a lot. I'm not good at maths, but that's more than one a day if you lay it out for the whole 12 months. Are we praying at least once a day? Hope so. All the prayers. Prayers of thanksgiving, prayers of worship, prayers of intercession, prayers for others, prayers for protection, long prayers, short prayers, prayers in the church, prayers outside, prayers in the garden, in your car, prayers with no words, singing prayers. What else? Happy prayers. Agonized prayers. All the prayers. Philippians tells us to pray about everything. 1 Timothy tells us to pray for all people, not just your friends. All people. 1 Thessalonians tells us to pray without ceasing. There's personal prayer. In Matthew, we're told to pray in private. This is personal prayer between you and God throughout every day, listening and being aware of his presence. And there's corporate prayer. Matthew also tells us that where two or more are gathered in the name of Jesus, God turns up. Why would you not want that? And in 1 Kings, Solomon prays in front of the entire community of Israel. Corporate prayer is important, where we encourage one another and pray into things together. In this church, we believe that being devoted to prayer is super important. So we have prayer meetings every Sunday morning at 9:30 and every Sunday afternoon at 5 o'clock. Guess what? You have a responsibility. Turn up and pray. Be devoted to meeting with others to pray. Not just on a Sunday, during the week. That's a novel idea. Just come around and pray. Let's read Acts 2:42 one more time. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. Here's the Sharon version. It's not funny. All the believers at Dream Builders Church Smithton devoted themselves to learning more about God every day, They devoted themselves to spending time with one another at church every Sunday. They devoted themselves to being generous and hospitable in their own homes during the week. And they devoted themselves to praying for everyone about everything in every circumstance. Wouldn't it be awesome if like there was a Bible written about us and that's what it said? How cool. What a way to be remembered. Our whole lifestyle should speak louder than words. Do your actions reflect your devotion? Don't just wear the scarf and say what you think people want to hear. Are you a supporter in word only? Which, let's be honest, I mean, it means nothing. Or are you all in? And I'll leave you with this thought. I think Matt said this last week. Billy Graham said this: give me 5 minutes with a person's checkbook and I will tell you where their heart is. And I suggest today that 5 minutes with your calendar will tell me where your heart is. Thank you.
I reckon we need to do better than that. Let's give Sharon a big hand.
Before we go into a song, just want everyone just to stand. Let's just want to give people an opportunity here just to maybe someone here who's not in a relationship with the Lord, maybe have drifted away from God. So if we can just dim the lights a little bit, if we can all just stand up with our eyes closed, head bowed. You know, Acts 2 verse 42 is not possible. That healthy, vibrant life that the early church celebrated or participated in is not possible unless Jesus was to come and to die die as a sacrifice, to shed his blood because of the sin problem that humanity faces. You know, through sin, we're separated from God. But through the sacrifice giving of Jesus Christ, he has made a way where there was no way. No matter how hard man tried to find acceptance with God, sin, because of guilt and because of shame, it was impossible. It's not by works that we're saved, but it's purely by the grace of God. So I just want to give anyone here an opportunity here this morning. If you don't follow Jesus as a personal Savior and a personal Lord, I want to give you an opportunity right now. Last couple of weeks, we've been talking about the decisions that we make. You know, we can't serve two masters. Jesus said that. You will love one and hate the other. Think of those words. They're not my words. They're Jesus' words. You will love one, you'll hate the other. You cannot serve God and whatever it is, materialism. You can't serve God and the things of this world. So this morning, we all have to make a decision, and many of you have already made a decision. But if that's you this morning, you've not made a decision yet to follow Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to give you an opportunity right now. So just with every head bowed, every eye closed, if that's you this morning, you just want to pop up your hand. So I'd love to pray with you this morning. Maybe there's someone here that you've drifted away, that you've walked away from God's best for your life, and you know that you need to make adjustments. You need to make a decision to get back to that place where God wants you to be. If that's you this morning, do you want to shoot up your hand? I'd love to pray with you this morning. Are we all going okay in the house of God this morning? As Sharon said, you know, Jesus, his return is very near. You look at the signs around the world today. We don't know how much longer we have until he returns. Don't leave it too late. Don't leave it too late to make the most important decision you could ever make. It will affect your eternity. Let me just pray. Lord, I just thank you. I just thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that your word, it goes out and never returns to you void. I thank you, Lord, that your word, it is life. Your word, that it's sharper than a two-edged sword. And so we just thank you, God, that your word has been sown into our hearts this morning. Lord, I just pray for an increase of that word that was sown into our hearts, Lord, that you would just water it, Lord, that you would increase it 30, 60, 100-fold. Lord, I pray those things that Sharon just shared from her heart this morning, Lord, I pray, Lord, those things would resonate with us. Lord, that we would make the necessary adjustments, make the necessary decisions, Lord, that we would be, you know, passionate about who you are. We'd be passionate followers of Jesus Christ. And, Lord, it would just like, kind of like ooze out of our lives, not just by the words that we say, but by our actions. It would be easily seen. So I pray, God, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would just continue to minister to us, continue to talk to us, Lord, continue to empower us to fulfill those things that you've asked us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Awesome. So let's go out with a song. I think that'd be a good idea. I'm going to hand it to Megan and the team. But please stay around for some coffee. Please stay around for some scones. Enjoy some fellowship. Enjoy connecting with one another. See you all at the prayer meeting this afternoon, 4:45.